From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. This is the eulogy episode, season-ending episode for the Knickerbockers. They fall in five to the Atlanta Hawks, lose three games, four games to one. I'm sorry. First of all, let's pay homage to the great Knickerbocker Avenue himself. Get well, Chief. I know you're listening from afar, and hopefully you have a swift and great recovery and be back on your feet, man. It was good talking with you earlier today, going back and forth. Just get better, homie, and we'll hold it down here on this eulogy episode. Now, this was supposed to be our bye week for this platform. This was supposed to be, you know, every 3 months we go on a quarter, you know, a week off. All the episodes. This is the only show this week that we're actually attacking it, obviously, because the Knicks are in the playoffs. This fucking ruined my fucking week. This is ruining probably the tail end of my spring. This shit was not even close. We're not even going to pretend with this bullshit. This was terrible. And I might take it there. And Knicks fears may come from my neck when I say this. And yeah, I'm going to say it. Nobody is a combo fan like me. Like, you know, it's not really about me per se. I'm just, you know, I know fans. I know the psychology of fans and the teams for what I root for. Yo, I'm about to say it. We were better off playing without the fans, man. The Knicks, for whatever reason, as bad as they played, it didn't feel like they played better with the fans in the building, whether it was in New York or in Atlanta. I don't know. There's something to it. Randall looked off. He was turning the ball over like crazy. His shot selection was poor. Poor as it's been all season. The Knicks were god-awful in all games, except for one quarter in game two, the third quarter. Quarters three and four in game number two when we did the postgame last Wednesday after game two. They got outshot, they got outplayed, they got out-hustled, they lost all the 50-50 balls, and the offense looked anemic. I mean, the only spark you saw out of the game tonight was Emmanuel Quickley, who hit a couple threes, drives to the lane. But the Knicks, they had no answer whatsoever for the balanced attack for the Atlanta Hawks, who are going to go on to the second round. I hope they get fucking smashed by Philadelphia. I hate to say I'm rooting for a fucking Philadelphia team. Chris, we'll bring on Dom. What's up, man? What's going on? This is a eulogy episode. We should have the organs playing, get the pallbearers ready for the next season. Let's talk about positive shit. Dude, I am fucking furious at this performance. I'm fucking
man, you
pissed.
Don't come
you
off,
laugh.
You don't
I'm
come
pissed.
Off vacation. Bruh, you do not come off vacation and say, yo, I'm pissed. This is a eulogy joint. Bro, this is the beginning.
It is a eulogy.
This is not the end. This is the beginning. We got two goddamn, maybe three quality players away from being a really championship level squad. We already got a wonderful goddamn front office intact. We got tons of cap space. This is the beginning, not the end. This is the beginning. We had to start somewhere. And hey, you know, it was a little disappointing and disjointed to see this play, I mean, throughout this playoff. There were some things to be done, but we also identified what we needed. We also saw what our potential can be. We also got some players, Burks, Quigley, Bullitt, that have renewed confidence that going forward that can help this franchise go to heights. This is the beginning, not the end, and that's what I try. Look, I've been a Knicks fan for 50 fucking 2 years, bro. I've lived, died, cried, fucking had a car accident with this motherfucking team. I've been through the whole shit. Bruh, I'm telling you, this is the beginning, not the end. So they should be proud of what they've done in the regular season? Absolutely. Are they going to dwell on these playoffs? Hell no, because West won't let them. Russ will not let them. Rose will not let them. Scott will not let them. They got the owner out of the fucking way so they can control shit the way they want to, and they are just going forward. This is the trajectory. It starts here, and it goes up. Now, I'm not one of the Knicks fans going to go, oh, this is bullshit. It's fucked up. The refs are dead. I am, actually, normally. You know, that is in my DNA. But he, the fucking possibilities, and it's going to be great, bruh. This is the rebirth. This is the start of something new. This ain't the old days. These ain't the Isaiah days. These are not the friggin' whatever his name was that traded away friggin' that got rid of Pat Riley, caused him to walk out the door. I forgot his name. Well, who gives a fuck? But anyway, these ain't those days. This is a new time, bruh. And let me tell you something: the trajectory and the possibilities are endless. Big up to the New York Knicks for bringing the fucking. And let me tell you something: the fan base for the New York Knickerbockers in these playoffs was phenomenal. Just wait till we get better on the court. Ain't nobody going to come on here and win. See, Steve, let me just say this before you let the rest of the stakeholders on. The whole idea of being, and this is coming from a complete native Brooklyn and Queens New Yorker here. The whole idea of shooting ball, if you ever played ball in the yard, the park, or the rec centers, or wherever you were, after school centers, CYOs, don't matter. You know that the main thing on a Saturday, Sunday is, yo, or even during the week was, look, yo, you don't let nobody take your court away from you. To me, that's the sin that they did this particular playoffs. You don't let nobody take your court away from you. But these young boys don't know anything about that yet. It'll come around. It will be here. I'm very positive that from here on in, you will see an array of fucking orange and blue in this nation like you ain't never seen before. You will see the 8 o'clock slot full of New York Knickerbocker teams nationwide. This is the beginning of greatness. Trust me. This is where everybody's going to flock to 33rd Street. Hard to get motherfucking seats from here on in. Penzies will be full like a motherfucker. You'll see fuckers in Eminem World trying to fucking get across the street. The fucking there'll be arrests for the goddamn Lyft drivers fighting with the goddamn yellow taxi guys and the medallion dudes outside. I'm here to tell you, it's the beginning of the sea of blue and fucking orange once again, just like it was in '70s and in the mid '90s. That's all I needed to say, bro. Proud of the New York Knicks. Take it from there.
All right, we're going to continue with this eulogy. Let's bring on the great Dom. Dom, what the fuck happened tonight? Or what happened in this series, man? Give us your thoughts on what happened since last Wednesday when we tied up the series. What the fuck happened, man?
I normally am that glass full, half full kind of guy and listening to The Godfather. I would love to feel that way right now, but I guess my sore loser hat has to come on. That being said, guys, if you're gonna praise him, we had this conversation, Steve. A real fan, if you're gonna praise him, you gotta bash him. And the one thing I took out of this, is everything the Godfather said, the trajectory. The good thing about this is we see the holes that need to be filled. We seen the RJ Barrett decision making. We've seen his shot selection getting a little better, but we still see his decision making is you know, needs improvement. We've seen that Derrick Rose is a great guy coming off the bench, but when you start him, you have nobody coming off the bench. Quickly needs a lot of work. You know, we have a lot of holes to fill on the team, let alone to bring other players into the team. That's a great world. That's a pipe dream that we had one good season and everybody's going to flock to the Garden. I kind of agree with you, Steve, when it comes to the fans being back in the building. Then did that. And
it's
I an always
elephant in the room,
fight.
Dom. It's,
yeah,
it's
and
an
I,
elephant
and
in
I
the
always.
Room. And I'm a fan
exactly.
Like you are, Dom and Chris. You guys are y'all been fans longer than me, but I got to call it how I see it. Continue, sir. I'm sorry.
And the one thing that I always say is, they need to revoke Spike Lee's season ticket because he's nothing but a jinx. Every time he gets up and acts like he's in the game, the Knicks end up losing. This shit's been going on for too long, guys. Let's just be honest. Maybe it's me because I don't like Spike Lee. I don't like his antics. I don't like none of that shit. because it's been nothing but a disaster since Reggie Miller did the throat choking. It's been nothing but a disaster with him trying to be a part of the game. They talk about people throwing stuff and popcorn and soda bottles. I get that. That's against the law. But I think what he does goes beyond being a fan. You know, knock it off. Because all you're doing is irking the other team on. And another thing I don't believe in, guys, I don't believe in when the lights get brighter, people get nervous. It's like telling me that I'm going to go to the range 4 times a year, and then if I have to deploy, I forgot how to shoot my weapon. I don't buy that. That's not a scientific fact that when the lights get brighter, guys freeze up. No. It's some shit the media made up. It's bogus. You playing basketball, man. It's the same game. Here's the sad thing, guys. As I'm watching this series, I'm thinking, God, please don't let this be happening, Dom. But it happened. The Knicks offense reverted back to the offense pre-March. Couldn't hit a shot. Couldn't make a pass. Everybody looks hesitant. Everybody acts like they don't know what to do. It was like they went back to that when they was the 30th team in the league in scoring. Because when you look at it, guys, not one game this series did the Atlanta Hawks eclipse their points per game average during the regular season. Not one. The only game they came close to was the game they scored 113. But you're scoring 90, 80, whatever the Knicks were scoring. They went back to that team, Steve, that we were talking about when they was 30th in the league in scoring. And then all of a sudden they creeped up to 22nd, was the fifth, the third best three-point shooting team. What happened? It's like they put on the reverse hat. And again, what you're saying, Steve, all of this shit that I'm talking about, forgive me, but all of this stuff that I'm talking about happened before the crowd was there.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those stats I just gave you was pre the Garden being full. Every one of them. All them statistics I gave you was pre-fans coming back in the seats. Even when they only had 1,500, whatever it was, they were still playing the same ball that they played after March. After you mentioned, we got to stack wins. After me mentioning they got to win, they're going to win 8 in a row. All of this shit happened with nobody in the crowd. No Spike Lee running around like a little gremlin, dressing like a 12-year-old. All of that happened before this. Now you put the crowd back in there. Are you feeling yourself? Are you thinking we beat this team 3 games in a row during the regular season? We got their number. But then you couldn't do nothing right. Nothing. I'm talking about collectively. I ain't picking on one guy. Of course, it's easy to pick on Randle because we rode his jock all the way to where we got. Let's keep it real. We could bash him for what he did in the playoffs, but we rode him like a damn wet mule the whole season. But no, this was a collective disaster. I would feel like Godfather's feeling if this series would have been competitive. But again, it opened my eyes to a lot has to be done, a lot. There are too many holes with the players we have. Now, go ahead, Godfather.
Hey, I got a question. Here's my question. Where do they go from here?
Well, that's a great question because, like I said, when you look at the guys that we have right now, during this series, well, basically during the season, we identified what the strengths and weaknesses are. Great defensive team.
Right.
They play a great team defense. We don't have one guy on our team, maybe Noel, that if given the time, the opportunity, he could be a defensive player of the year, whatever. But he's the only one. We don't have no lockdown defenders. We play a great team defense. But other than that, our offense is too been down. You know, you went from 30th to 22nd to probably last in all the teams in the playoffs right now. So we identified a lot of things that have to be fixed. Again, In a perfect world, Godfather, we wave a magic wand and say, wow, we went 41 and 31. Everybody in the NBA is going to want to flock to the Garden. that shit ain't happening no more. I don't care how hyped the Garden was. We mentioned this a long time ago, Steve. That ship has sailed. That major market, New York, the Mecca, that's great for New Yorkers, the so-called sophisticated fans. That ain't working no more. It don't work for the Yankees. It hasn't been working for the Yankees. It's never worked for the Knicks. So to think that we're going to do that, that ain't going to happen. You know, we need to, of course, the first thing we need to do is get us a point guard. That's been the monkey and the elephant in the room for 30 years. And we need a point guard. He don't have to be Ja Morant, whatever. He don't have to be Steph Curry. We just need a solid point guard. Start Derrick Rose. He's great coming off the bench. But like I said, if he's in the starting lineup, who we got coming in for him? Quickly? He's not a point guard, guys. Look, we've had this conversation all year, Steve. This guy is not a point guard. He wasn't a point guard in college. He's not going to be a point guard in the NBA. He's a shooting guard, and he can shoot. I'll give him his props. He's young, so he took his lumps this series. But, again, that needs improvement. He needs to improve. They all need to do what Julius Randle did when COVID hit. He worked on his game. There ain't no days off, guys. If you think you're going to get better, then you got to work. If you're content with what you did, then you're going to come back the same way you left. If you don't have that drive.
I was asking that question from pretty much an executive slash GM point. What would you have done? What would you
do? That's what they have to do, Godfather. We know this. Like you just said, Godfather, you've been a Knicks fan for 102 years. I've probably been a Knicks fan for 100. But in our last 30 years, the elephant in the room has been a point guard. So with all of those guys you mentioned, Godfather, Worldwide West, Rose, all of these guys you mentioned that did a good job, they need to put their heads together and say, you know what, we can't avoid this elephant in the room no more, guys. We can't.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
I got a question for you, Don. Okay. And Chris, you can answer this too if you want. Point guard, granted, we talked about this last offseason with Halliburton. You know, we did a draft show, and we did not go that route. Okay, we'll move on from that. Let's fast forward, and I want to bring this up because I was watching this even last night in the Denver-Portland game out in Denver. Not Damian Lillard, but a guy that was on the Knicks roster, and I know you're not as big a fan of Austin Rivers, but I cannot help but acknowledge the big shots he's been making in the Denver series on the fly with a team he wasn't with all season. So my question to you, Dom, if you first and then Chris, did we ship out the wrong point guard, or was it just because of what was happening internally between Rivers management, Rivers, Derrick Rose, meaning when – Rivers was traded to Oklahoma City, should it have been Payton? And would they have accepted Payton to throw, you know, just to cut him loose like they did Rivers? Because obviously the point guard situation was fucking exposed in the series. What's your thoughts, Dom, as far as what if had we kept Rivers and Derrick Rose over a Payton who didn't pretty much get no burn after what, the game, first game? What's your thoughts on that? Because I'm looking at all things, killing, but he's making good contributions with Denver, making open shots, threes, assists. What's your thoughts on that, Dom? Because you watch all the games. I couldn't wait to ask you that.
Steve, Chris, I think that will go down as the most who sunk the Titanic type shit. You know, I don't think none of us on this line can say we know why that happened. I'm as confused as the next guy. You know, I understand Rivers is a 25 one night or the next night. Again, I go back to his career. He's a 9 point a night guy in situation. I think the Knicks believed that as long as they started Payton and he didn't totally screw up until it was time for him to get out, they had Rose coming in. They had Quickly coming in. So, and it worked. It worked for 72 games, guys. We could sit here and we could bash Payton until the cows come home. Somewhere in the back of somebody's mind, it was like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We got a good combination, and you saw it, Steve, Chris, as time went on. Rose was getting more minutes than him. So it was almost a mute point, but it was working. It was working. When we put Rose in the starting lineup, yeah, he scored 24, 25 points, but we were never in none of those games. None of them. Every game he scored all those points, we was playing catch-up the whole time. The Austin Rivers thing, I'm telling you guys, that may be the shocker of all shockers. Now, you look at Denver. Speaking of Denver, Steve, they've taken pieces off the scrap heap, but they messed with that team. You bring in Gordon, you know, like you said, with Rivers. Season's halfway over. Here comes Gordon. But he does what he does. Plays good defense. He's athletic. He'll get you 15, 16 points a game. Bingo. That's all we want you to do. We don't need you to come in here and be Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Black Panther. We need you to do what you did. Just do it with us. We're not going to put that added pressure like they did in Orlando where you got to score 30 points. He didn't have to do that. This is what I'm saying about a Nick point guard. If you get a point guard, we're not asking you to be one of the Avengers. We want you to be a solid point guard, run the team, be able to hit a shot. We're not going to get, like you said, Steve, and we talked about this shit all summer. You missed your opportunity in getting Halliburton. And the sad part about that is, in some odd way, you may have stumped Toppin's growth. If Toppin goes somewhere else, how much better would he be right now? He's playing second fiddle to Randle. Halliburton's playing second fiddle to Fox. So you got two guys playing second fiddle who could have possibly been really, really, really solid rookies in their first. And Halliburton proved it, even coming off the bench. And even when they went with him and Fox in the game at the same time, he proved he belonged. And he proved once again, I hate to say this, this is why I can never stand tanking. Because the Knicks never took advantage of said tanking, or really just sucking. They made sort of put us back in the hole. You know, you busted your ass all year, and then you draft a player that needs 105 years worth of improvement, and this is what you got. Again, Steve, we brought this shit up. Matter of fact, it was still when Chandler was calling, and we were all like, Halliburton, Halliburton, Halliburton. And then all of a sudden, this Obi Toppin comes out of nowhere. Yeah. And then you sit and you scratch your head with all the great people that my father mentioned at the beginning of his soliloquy. All those great people, they all looked over Halliburton. Knowing you got Julius Randle, you take a title. Yeah. So can I give them an A- for that? No. They get a D for that shit, to be quite honest. As good a job as they've done, guys, that's the biggest ball they dropped. And that's the ball that we needed to pick up for 20 years. How did you overlook that shit? You can't tell me, guys, and I'll ask y'all this. By them looking over Halliburton, did they have that much cachet in Elfrid Payton? I'm asking.
No, if you're asking. And I remember that show that we did on draft night. We were very kind to that decision at that time. We were kind. I'm just going to use that word. But none of us really believed in it. You're right. You're absolutely right, Dom. Obi Toppin was an industry pick, or I should say a club management pick. That's what happened there. We all know that, too. All right. So that was a popularity thing. That was not for the betterment of this club. I truly believe, especially the way Halliburton performed part-time this year, that he would have been a complete wonderful asset to our success this year, particularly in a game like this, you know, when we needed a complete backcourt performance instead of one old man trying to hold it together with Scottsdale. Yeah. Halliburton would have been a better pick, considering that, yeah, you're right. And he fell to us, too, but we didn't take advantage of it. But I'm concentrating more on the other part that you asked, Steve, about Austin Rivers, okay?
Okay. Okay.
We got interested in Austin Rivers after he came off the bench and he scored those 40 points when he was with the Rockets. I don't know who he did it on. I think probably a lower team, like the Kings or the Wolves or whatever. And then we got excited, and we signed him on a fucking signing trade. That's all we can agree to with this cat. A signing trade. He did his job. He was contracted to be our knockdown, shutdown dude. And he did his job while he was here for a while, for a few games. But all of a sudden in March, I don't know whether it was the middle or the end of March, he was all of a sudden traded in that three-team trade to the Thunder. Thunder got rid of him 3 days later. Then he went to Nuggets on a 10-day contract. So that's basically D-League. He went to the Nuggets on a 10-day contract, and the only reason he's getting the light that he's getting now is because Jamal Murray got hurt for the rest of the year. Okay, when I see something like that, that means there's a coaching issue in terms of trying to fit him into your game plan. That's what I see. Okay, so that's what happened. Now he's contributing now, but he's still not even their first option. He's doing okay, and he almost fucked up yesterday too. Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen.
He did.
Yesterday. Okay.
Yes, he did.
So there's an issue with the way he let's just put it this way. Let me be kind. Addresses defense. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why Rose had to come to this team and he had to change. And he couldn't identify with the total makeup of what Tibbs wanted. And all of a sudden, he asked to leave. He voluntarily went into the protocol for a while, which I don't understand why anybody would volunteer for that, but that's another story. So we ain't talking about that tonight. And then, of course, the baby was being born, so he asked to leave for that. And finally, he was like, let me go. And it was a whole big thing. So it was shit that had nothing to do with the court that got him out of here. That's why his father was so defensive at over here in the Philly press conference talking about, okay, before I begin, don't ask me anything about my son. Don't ask me anything about my son. That's another club. We have nothing to do with that. His coach is over there. His coach used to coach with me. He went right into the defensive mode because there was some other shit. That's what happened with that. So that's either coaching. I mean, the fact that he can't adapt to certain coaching procedures or maybe just his attitude. That was that. But, Dom, you are spot on with the Halliburton thing. Hey, I'm looking at a game like we saw tonight. His presence was sorely needed. Okay? His spreading of the floor is quite different than what Derrick Rose is geared to come off the bench for us, as he was trying to. But we have no point guard, as Dom alluded to. We haven't had one in a long time. I don't know, since Charlie Ward or something. I don't know. But that's one of the reasons why I asked the question earlier. Where do we go from here? And the answer was spot on. First of all, let's get a floor general. Number one, okay? Every floor general has pretty much beaten us this year, beating us up. And as you can see in this little freaking playoff here, this little kid came in here and he just did a job on us. He had 35 tonight or whatever it was. All right? The crowd, yeah, I would say, I'm sorry, man. I think it was stage fright for them cats. Some of them, and I'm not saying that the team as a whole, but it was stage fright, man. I know Bullock loved it. he loved it. But I'm not sure how RJ felt. I'm not sure how I'm missing somebody here. There's somebody that was in my that I looked at, and it's like maybe the light got in their eyes. I forgot it. I noticed it during the game, but I'm having a moment here. But and maybe even Matt Randall, you know, who blossomed this year, has an award to prove it, but he did it without any crowd. And now here we are.
Right.
You know, in full effect. In full effect. Past Garden. And let me tell you something. Don't be back. Don't be back. You know, so look, my idea, I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm looking at it like this. Yes, what you two have identified thus far on the show tonight is absolutely earnest. It's correct. And I do agree with the point. I just happen to know that I've also seen this show before. In that place, at that location, with those uniforms. And they will be back. They've got just the right kind of front office that can tease this thing. They're not going to waste it. And so, yeah, this was disappointing to me, disappointing to you, disappointing to Dom, disappointing to all the stakeholders, all the Knicks fans. But, brah, don't look at it like it's a friggin', you know, don't stab yourself, you know. You'll learn.
But here's the thing, Godfather Steve. We're putting our eggs in the basket that they're going to make these changes. And granted, I have much more faith in them than I have
right.
in the prior probably 200 regimes that was running this franchise.
Doing Lions.
But I still got to go back to you were the guys in charge knowing what we needed as soon as
yep.
– and me and Steve had this conversation.
Understood.
The Knicks were like, you know, the shining light during COVID. Because when you look
yeah.
at it, the Knicks hadn't played in damn near a year. So they had nothing but time. They put the front office together. They put the coach together. We're still in COVID, guys. All of this shit's in
yeah.
place. Then we have the draft. Then y'all drop the ball. So it brought me back to a
right.
situation I always bring up with Steve. You know, yes, the Denver Nuggets took a flyer on Michael Porter Jr. He sat out 1 year. He came back.
Mm-hmm.
He became part of that Michael Porter. The next year, he
mm-hmm.
was Michael Porter. He was the guy that was
right.
a highly touted kid coming out of high school, college.
Mm-hmm.
Hurts his back. Everybody pumps the brakes. But here's the catch to that
mm-hmm.
shit, guys. While he sat out a year, came back, became half a Michael Porter, became the Michael Porter you see. And now, if you watch the game last night, guys, the guy missed three shots, hit the big three in double overtime.
Yep.
But you got Kevin Knox still sitting on the bench with pom-poms. So that
yep.
time you would have had Porter sitting would have been equivalent to Knox trying to get his head out of his ass his first year, second year, third year, this year, next year. So
yep.
a flyer on that, and I understood what Steve said today in his post that the Knicks weren't enough. The Knicks was sucking. And they were sucking after they got knocked. So if you would have at least had, can you imagine, guys, and I know you can't put the genie back in the bottle, maybe because I was so high on this kid, but can you imagine
you were.
Knox, can you imagine Michael Porter Jr.
I have a question.
And Randall on the same team? That shit would be phenomenal, guys.
That would be crazy. We don't do that. We didn't do obviously enough homework. But Dom, I gotta ask you a question, man. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. Damn, that's a hell of a revelation. Woo, that was he fire. Michael would love God.
And then,
but
I
hear what you're saying, Dom. But I go back to the situation at the time. I just don't think the Knicks management at that time with Mills was really
right.
wanted to run a risk with a guy that's injured. I get what you're saying now because he looks good because he could not have been in a better situation than Denver because Denver had guys in front of him, veterans like Paul Millsap. They had Torrey Craig.
Yep.
They had a whole bunch of Beasley. They had a lot of dudes where Michael Porter could afford to sit without pressure from the media. And I can't emphasize that point enough, especially with all the bad signings the Knicks had with draft picks, and that did not pan out. We could go to Antonio McDice, as far as a free agent signing with his injury
yeah.
woes. I don't think they run that risk with Michael Porter, although it looks good for Denver now.
You know what I think about Steve when I always hear you say that? I say, okay, Steve got a point. But here's where, and this is no knock against you, Steve. Here's where I kind of
one more point. One more point on that. Let me say, and this is the other factor. This is another variable. We can't really say the Knicks' development is as good as Denver because that goes a long way too. We can't say that head coach, you know, what was it, Hornacek or whoever it was. There's so many coaches. But there's no stability when you have Malone and they have a system in Denver. Like, you go throw him in
yeah.
exactly the way they did there. That's totally
but
different
even,
situations. Go ahead, Dom.
Even all that being said, Steve, with all the confusion, all the chaos within this, you actually, excuse my French, you fucked fucked up the year you got Kevin Knox, who didn't do nothing.
Well, we agree. We agree.
Now, listen, here's where it gets better, Steve.
Sure, you know where I went. You went Porter. Chandler went Porter. I went Bridges. Because, I mean, how you not go with a guy who won two national championships?
Right, but here's the catch with any one of those picks, Steve. You took this kid on a whim, Knox. You sucked so bad, ended up getting another pick the next year in R.J. Barrett. You can't plan that shit. If they did it by accident, guys, that would have been a hell of an accident. Think about that. You picked this Knox
kid. Yeah, I agree.
And you did nothing. You did nothing as a team. You did nothing with him. I think you won 17 games. So you were in the lottery again and get a very decent player in R.J. Barrett. Got flaws. But now you got Barrett. Here comes Porter. Or going your route, Steve, I would have took either Porter, Bridges, either one of the Bridges. Because
yes,
if you follow
basketball. Right, right.
Yeah, if you follow basketball and you see the ascension of these three guys, it almost makes you want to find the clowns that did these draft picks and just whoop their ass. I mean, we're fans, guys. Now, guys like me and you, Steve, I don't know about Godfather, we watch college basketball. We see these guys play college basketball.
That's my favorite sport.
He'll say
it. That's my favorite sport.
Okay, Godfather, again, we see these guys play. And you, again, guys, I can see you pass it on Porter. Okay, the back, whatever.
Yeah,
but
you're still
passed on Bridges, and a host of other people. And the whole caveat to all of this shit, guys, what's frustrating the shit out of me, is this guy has still not panned out. He is not panned. And you can't blame Thibodeau. You can't, because guess what? Like a Knox and a Nilakina. People could praise them, say what they could be, what they can be. But you know what? You had four or five coaches. It's again, even if you had a conspiracy, you can't tell me four or five different coaches was part of that conspiracy that said, you know what, Godfather's really not working out. It's kind of hard to believe, guys, if you had that many different coaches, that one of them didn't say, hey, man, he got a little something. None of them. They are who they are. But meanwhile, every guy that I, Steve, have brought up have become stellar players in this NBA. And guess what, guys? Every one of them would fit in with the Knicks, still having Julius Randle. It's just hard for me to – and that's why I say, Godfather, I love your moxie. And I want to be in that boat. I do. I want to believe that the Roses, the Worldwide Westers, the Thibodeaus are going to get this shit right. I do want to believe that as a fan. But I'm still at that point where you got to show me. Because you just dropped the ball this summer by not taking
Understood. Absolutely.
You got to prove
understood.
It to me. Yeah, you got to show
way,
me something.
Draft, I have one last question. It's for Dom again. I got one last question. Oh, by the way, that draft, I was yelling for Alexander, his teammate. I remember that night. I'm always on the drafts, man. I was yelling for his Alexander. That's the guy I wanted when it came down to nine. Wherever he is, I think he's on Oklahoma City, right? And I don't know
yeah.
where he's at.
Shea Gilchrist Alexander, however you say his name.
Yeah.
Point guard.
Okay.
Another point guard.
Well, Clippers had drafted him.
Yeah.
Clippers drafted him.
I forget where. Was Knox nine? I think Knox was nine. I don't know. I'll look it up. Okay, I have a question about Knox. Use some help. I mean, let's be honest. Let's put our coach's hats on here. Does he actually really suck? Is he a disappointment? Or would it benefit him to have some off-season coaching, some D-League experience? Can he use some help? Because the reason I'm asking is because in college, he actually was part of a system, and it worked well for him, where he shined, okay? When he got to our preseason, he had promise. We liked it. But he never really came to fore here, okay? In this, since he's been around for, four seasons now, right? I think it's been three seasons. four seasons. There's been four seasons now. Okay? He, Tina, have sat there pretty much and not really have developed under anyone's particular tutelage. Okay? They've had about three coaches now. I don't know. Is he a bust or did he, or is there potential there? What do you really think?
I personally got to think, even with all of the coaching changes and all of that, I somehow find myself always going back to how bad do you want it? You know, again, I use Julius right. Randle as an example. During COVID was, again, a gift for the Knicks. But with Randle, I'm just using Randle as an example. In every season after he broke his leg, Julius Randle's numbers in every category increased, except under Fizdale.
Right.
Okay, so now you got this opportunity, this COVID. I don't know if he had a court in his backyard, under his, I don't know where he had it. But it was obvious he was working out. So there mm-hmm. goes the, damn, Godfather, mm-hmm. how bad do you want this? You know, mm-hmm. do you want to sit back and say, well, you know, I'm not getting minutes. But you're not getting minutes for a reason. Let's identify the first issue. You're not getting minutes for a reason. It's
and
not because somebody don't like you.
Play, the other thing I need
what
to
is he,
add.
A small forward?
Does not play. What
small
is he
forward.
Really? Look at it. No. Look at him. Look at his game. Look at his deficiencies. Does he really belong there?
No.
Because he's not a big guard either.
See, and again, Godfather, you're helping me with your own argument. Where
know,
do you fit in?
Mean.
Yeah, where do
I mean,
you fit in? And all that being said, Godfather, you made an excellent point because I was going to say that. But, again, where do you put Kev? If I was to talk to him, hey, Docs, you got a nickel in this dime. Nobody owns the whole dime because you're still in the equation. So you have a nickel in this dime. How bad do you want it? And then when you do see him on the court, you steadily scratch your head and you say, okay, we gave him an alibi because he was this young and he's still young and he got a little older and we're still coming up with the same excuses. He has no motor.
It ain't working, so, man.
Right, exactly, Steve. Somewhere along the line, Godfather, you got to point to Kevin Knox.
I gotta say this. I got a lot to say, man. Because this conversation on this eulogy episode, losing to the Hawks, this is about asset mismanagement. We've identified draft night as asset mismanagement from this past draft. You can identify past drafts. I mean, we've had this conversation throughout this season about Kevin Knox. It's almost a replay. We know this, okay? I mean, let's do a comparison just on the team we lost to in the series just now. Look at their draft picks. Trae Young was drafted by Dallas. Atlanta drafted Luka. They swapped for each other. I think the Trae Young shit kind of worked out, right? You know, three – traded for three for five.
Right.
Trae Youngworth, right? No. There's no debate, right? John Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that that draft pick actually panned out for them, right? He's giving them production
yes.
when he's there. Outside of last year when he was out for the drug stuff, that's worked out, right? DeAndre Hunter, Chris,
mm-hmm.
a national championship basketball player at Virginia, right? Dom,
that's right.
You know this ACC.
Right.
Look what the hell he's given the Knicks in the playoffs this year on the defensive end alone, and he'll knock down a couple of shots, all right? This is something – and matter of fact, he didn't play in a lot of those games when we won those regular season games. He was an inner lineup. So you could just cross out the regular season on that. As far as DeAndre Hunter, as far as role player, he was effective tonight with his 15 coming with the 15 starting, right? Kevin Herter, Chris, Maryland basketball, right? I would think, you know, he's
right.
actually had some dagger shots in this series versus the Knicks. So you take what they did in the draft, compared it to what we did. I mean, what could we lean on? Emmanuel Quickley and maybe Barrett versus Frantman Lakina, Kevin Knox. Matter of fact, I'll even throw a name nobody mentioned. I pretty much on any Knick episode. And he was sitting on the bench for the Knicks, G League and everything. And it's a small sample size, Chris, and I may be even reaching, but Give the 8 games in the regular season with Iggy when he got traded to Philly. Philly got let go and went to Orlando. He at least gave them 11 when he started. 40% from three, and he was in the Knicks' grasp. The G League
That's
on
right.
the bench. Shot 40% from three
yep.
in 8 games.
Yep.
I know Orlando stunk, is a tank job, whatever. But you got to know, we got to understand this. We watched him in college. The guy could play. He's like I would say he's a Joe Ingles type player. You've heard me say this shit on the episode. I'm always asking myself, how the fuck is Kevin Knox getting more burn than this guy who's improving more in college at Michigan? What happened with the Knicks with that? Why there was no belief in that when I'm watching Orlando games at the tail end of the season? I'm like, well, damn, he kind of has the game I thought he would.
Front office.
And don't forget, Steve, again, with that great soliloquy you gave with Atlanta, you missed the name because he's hurt. They still drafted
Reddick. They missed on him.
Who?
The shooting guard.
Who? Cam Reddish.
What's his
name? Cam Reddish.
Yeah, they missed on him.
That's right. That's right.
Who was
I forgot about that.
Who was actually the shooter on that team with Zion and R.J. Barrett.
Forget. May I ask you two gentlemen a question real quick?
Yeah.
May I ask you two quick gentlemen a non-Knickerbocker question real quick, because I've been dying here. Real good. I need some feedback on this. May I, if it's okay? What did you two think of Damian Lillard's performance last night?
Historic.
That's Historic.
Historic. I watched that game in entirety, and the shot-making ability by that man is like none other I have ever seen in my life. As far as his range, his pull-up, they know what he's going to do, and it doesn't matter. Matter of fact, Portland fucked up that game by not going back to him at the end. They let the McCollum, who struggled the entire fourth quarter. Robert Covington's missing dunks. He's missing jumps. Like, they lost that game by not going back to him with his 55 points. It didn't make no sense. If you're a Portland fan, I would be fucking pissed. Like, this is the hottest guy in the NBA right now.
This is what leads me to what I always say about Portland. They are who they are. You get a guy that scores 55 points, but you can't stop the other team.
That's the issue.
Yeah, and the Stay Mellow crowd was awfully quiet last night when he went 3-for-10, 3-for-11, whatever, in 30 minutes. You know, they are who they are, guys. They almost remind me, Steve, Godfather, of the John Wall Beal sideshow. You got these two great point guards. You got these two great guards, but everybody else around you is like, and neither one of them teams play defense. The Wizards, the Blazers. You know, this is one of the biggest disparities, and believe it or not, guys, you can look it up. Portland's offense versus Portland defense. It's like one of the biggest disparities in NBA history. There's no way in hell you're scoring 118 points a night and you're losing. That's insane, guys. That's totally insane. And there's no way in hell. I mean, okay, we could take Jason Tatum's 50 points. He was playing on a broke-down Boston team, so I kind of, sort of, as much as I hate Boston, I got to give them sort of an alibi for that. But with Portland, you got the same team you've always had. And the same thing happens to them. Every year, Damian Lillard shoots the fucking ball from the locker room, but you can't stop the other team from shooting the ball from the locker room. So here's a better question, and I know how he feels. He's loyal. But is he wasted talent on Portland? When does the light bulb go on and say, man, you know what? There's an old saying, if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got.
Right.
When does the light bulb go on? And I mean, I feel bad for him, guys. First of all, he's way out in Portland.
Well,
so they're not getting the team-wise.
Right.
They're not getting the attention they should be getting.
If you remember the scenario in his situation, he's loyal for the fact that he remembers the situation when LaMarcus Aldridge was his teammate when he first got there from Weber State, and LaMarcus Aldridge went for a greener pastures for San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of wanted to go the opposite route, and that's why he got the extension. And, you know, and it goes back to what you were saying, Dom, about 20 minutes ago to the Godfather. New York, about playing in New York, that was or maybe back in the 90s, maybe the 2000s. But today, professional athlete really doesn't care. As long as they are somewhere in the league where they like it and they're getting paid. I mean, there's a reason why Damian Lillard went back to Portland. He's just probably – he's cool with it. Like, nobody – New York is not the end-all, be-all, especially where you could promote yourself literally with your fingers on your smartphone with these smart – you know, with these apps as far as branding, like Instagram. You could get your own following from the couch in Portland, Oregon, in the high-rise over the river, you know, out there in Oregon. Like, you don't need the commercials and the media to get you – you know, these media bucks like the old athletes did back in the day in New York. Or L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still pick a lot of places people would like to go to L.A. because, you know, because of the weather and all that. But I don't think, you know, you go anywhere in the league and you can still do what you need to do as far as get paid. And I think Damian Lillard is a prime example of that. I mean, this probably was a chance where they could have, you know, the Knicks could have offered, you know, went that route. But he chose Portland. You know, I don't know how many years he has left in that contract he has with that max, but – I think he's living with his decision because I think he knew what he was signing up because Portland is just Portland. They can't stop nobody.
Right. And in some ways, guys, did he think, okay, I showed my loyalty to them. They'll in turn show it to me. They'll get the right pieces that will help us move to the next level. But as you see, guys, you got teams like Denver, the Knicks, Milwaukee, all of these teams, guys, who were, I don't want to say cellar dwellers maybe 7 years ago, that you see their ascension, you see them picking and plucking the right pieces, and they're Portland since. You know, still doing the same thing, guys. They've been doing for quite some years now. They'll put up some points. They're fun to watch. They're very fun to watch. If you like offense, they're a great team to watch. But as far as them stopping somebody and really going to another level, I don't see it happening, man. I don't. They just have they have two great guards. I will give them that. And there are times, guys, you got to call a spade where McCollum disappears. So now you're down to Lillard. Yeah, you're down to Lillard. And that's got to be hard on him too, guys. I'm putting up all these points, and we, him included, we can't stop nobody. I mean, think about it, Steve. We had this conversation. If Denver had Murray and Burton, the series is over. They probably would have swept Portland. But let's just be honest. Let's keep it real. They probably would have swept Portland. How do you miss your starting point guard? And the other guy, and the wheels never came off the bus. They just swept Portland, guys. Trust me, because Denver plays defense, and they move the ball. And if you're moving the ball, we all know basketball. If you're moving the ball against a team that don't play defense, that's like cherry picking.
Well,
that's right.
Fortunately, and I know Chris could sound to it. I mean, you guys are old school as it gets. I mean, they have the MVP of this regular season on their roster, who's kind of like a hybrid of Kevin McHale and Larry Bird. He could rebound, he could find people, and he can knock down shots and free throws. That's a hard stop in today's NBA.
And he's
Nikola Jokic. And he's fearless.
And he's fearless.
And he gets
and he's more in shape.
Yeah. And guess what, guys? I can't think of the other guy. There's two or three guys in the NBA this year that led their team in points, rebounds, assists. Two of them are Nokic and Randle. I forgot who the other guy is. That's a tough feat, guys, to be honest. I mean, you might be good at this, decent at that, but when you're leading your team in all three of those top categories, you're doing something special. And guess what, guys? We could put the wheels back on the bus. He was still leading their team in assists when they had Murray, their point guard. Let's not forget that either. Yep. Murray's another, yep. you know, hybrid shooter, well, passer, more of a shooter. Oof.
I was going to ask the question what Chris said. Where do we go from here? Let's look at this roster real quick, okay? I'm got to get rid of the old regime. The cats are still here for whatever reason. I just think they couldn't find deals for Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina. They got to go. All right, a guy we didn't even mention. Now, it's hard to bring him up. I don't think he would have made a major difference, but I think this was actually a draft pick that actually worked out for us because of where we drafted him, and that's Mitchell Robinson. He was not a part of the 9-game win streak the Knicks had. So I don't know if I could actually say he would have been a difference maker, but it was really rough to watch in this series, Dom and Chris, with all the 50-50 balls, loose balls were going to Hawks' way, where, you know, I thought, okay, the rotation, I thought it was solid, but the Knicks were only on a win-lose. When Mitchell Robinson started, Noel was coming off the bench, and Taj was just a small contributor. As much as I love Taj Gibson and his toughness and, you know, his play, it doesn't work for today's NBA because any tap of the elbow with him is just going to be a flagrant one, and I hate that for Taj. But, you know, Mitchell Robinson, what do we do with Mitchell Robinson, Dom and Chris? What do we do with I said get rid of the old regime, get them far, far away. Alec Burks, I gotta sign him. I gotta, you know, bring him back. He's an offensive player. He looked bad tonight, but he's had some big games. We know that there's enough sample size to say, hey man, this guy is needed for our roster. Hopefully he will come back. He's been a journeyman a lot of years in Utah, that one or two with Philly and now with us. Julius Randle, I think he's going to have to reflect real hard on this, man, because as much as we were praising his game versus the Hawks in three games, literally averaging 30, high 30s in points, he shot terrible. And I can't say this enough, Nick Nation. Yo, we look like shit with the fans in the stands. I don't care what anybody says. We look prepped. We didn't look like we belonged on the court. I would say 13 out of those 16 quarters for sure, especially at home. We didn't look like ourselves, Don. We watched every game, and Chris, you watched every game. You could just tell, like, we looked like we were a part of the losing streak back in earlier in the season, man. What about Mitchell Robinson, Don? What about the guys I mentioned? Who stays? Who goes? I think it's obvious Elfrid Payton's out the door. Like, what do we do as far as who's coming back, who's not coming back? Taj Gibson, what's your thoughts on that, Don? And then Chris.
Here's the good thing about some of this. Let's just buy the numbers. Payton, got to go. Ntilikina, got to go. And I think they're on there last year anyway. Payton, Ntilikina, Knox. You know, the other guys that don't get no playing time, but they are roster spots. Pinson. And even Mitchell Robinson. Because I brought this up during one of the shows. See, when Mitchell Robinson went down, the Knicks defense got better, and their offense got better. Because as we all know, as much as we love Mitchell Robinson, he's sort of a liability on offense. If he's not catching the alley-oop, he's a liability. Yes, he's a rim protector and all that. But this is the new NBA, guys. And again, we've seen it in this series. The NBA is predicated on scoring. You could be a great defensive team, which the Knicks are. But if you ain't scoring, you're not fitting in. You're not going to go that far. It's almost the opposite of how the NBA used to be, where we used to always hear the cliche, you know, defense wins championships. Well, it really hasn't been the case in quite some years. You got teams just outscoring people. And with all of those names, again, you free up roster space. And I really want to see this guy, man. They go out and sign him, and me and Knickerbocker have had the debate with that Luka Vildoza.
Yeah,
Vildoza.
You know, supposed to have been a stud overseas. You bring him up, you sign him, and you never see him. Plan for next year. He's a point guard, and I heard he's good. He won the MVP of that European tournament championship. He's supposed to have some talent. I'm not going to Google and YouTube his playing and all that shit like people did in Ntilikina.
Mm-hmm.
But if you signed him, are we going to use him? Was that your ace in the hole moving forward? Because even the jury, guys, is still as great as he played during this playoff. The jury is still going to be out on Derrick Rose. how much more does he got left in the tank? He's 32 years old. Thank God he avoided the injury bug this year. He played his ass off, guys. He definitely was the best player we had in the playoffs. But again, looking forward, is he a part of that team? If you have a good point guard, and because of his relationship with Tibbs, you're coming off the bench, you're going to get 22, 24 minutes. If he's happy with that, I'm good with that, guys. I am. If the Knicks want to take a flyer on that, I'm good with that. But I'm not good with it knowing we don't have a starting point guard. But you get rid of those guys I named. Again, we don't have to hit the home runs. If we could get good, solid players that are going to fit into, like Godfather said, this ascension, this moving forward, the good pieces, if you get guys that fit in and buy into what we're doing, because, again, guys, there's not many stars, if you want to call them. I hate using the word stars, but there's not many super-duper guys in free agency this year. So we have all this cap space. And you know what? Here's the other scary thing. When you talk about Atlanta, Steve, and you talk about all of their picks, you know what? Them and the Knicks went into the offseason with the most salary cap in the NBA. Atlanta shot their load. They got everything they wanted. They spent all their money, and it came to fruition against the Knicks, where the Hawks went out and stole that Bogdanović guy, who was a great piece, even Gallinari. Gallinari normally used to be in a starter. They signed him. They gave him good money, but you're going to come off the bench, Steve. He's happy with that. You added Lou Williams. You added quality veterans to go with this good young nucleus. And I told you this once before, Steve, because he sat out last year. I said, man, did Atlanta hit pay dirt getting that Capella kid? You know, they basically got him for nothing. He missed last year, remember, because he got hurt. But I kept saying, man, when this young athletic guy comes back, good Lord. I wasn't even thinking about Collins back then because he was on that drug thing. And I'm thinking, man, they fucking stole Capella. And then I go into this year looking like, okay, they're bringing Capella back. They got all these young players. And all of a sudden they go get all of these free agents, use all their money. And it propelled them past the Knicks. Because let's not forget, guys, though, the Knicks beat them three games this year. They ended up with the same record. They were both 41 and 31. But when you see how their roster was constructed with the mix in the youth and the veterans and that shit just came together at the perfect time. So I'd get rid of those names I gave you, Steve. And, again, I'm not bashing Mitchell Robinson. I'm just looking at how stagnant we are on offense to begin with. And then you got him clogging the shit up, and he's not going to give you much on offense except an alley-oop here or put back there. Is the risk worth the reward? I don't know. All I know, guys, is they got better when he was out. That don't lie.
That's true.
That's part of the equation.
That's true.
Don't lie. They actually got better without him. So...
Right.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm just bringing up a point that they got better in every category when he went down. Now, granted,
Chris,
in a bottle with Noel and Taj Gibson.
Hold on, Dom. Chris, what's your thoughts on this? And then I'm gonna try to get to some free agents that maybe could be a fit.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris. What's your thoughts on this, man? And then...
Well, that's what I was going to ask you because, let me see, most of the free agents cost too much or they're not coming here. You know, your Dennis Schroeder's.
Okay.
I don't know. Ishmael Smith and all of these guys, they ain't coming here, man. Reggie Jackson ain't coming back here. I mean, ain't coming here, period. And Austin Rivers ain't coming back here. So, you know, that's all I remember out there. You know, and, you know, you got Cameron Payne out there killing it right now. He's not coming back here. So, you know, Jeff Teague ain't coming. You know, these guys are not coming here. They're not coming here. So we're still going to have, unless we draft well, we're still going to have, and this guy works out. He works out from Europe. We're still going to be at a shortfall here. Look, Mitchell Robinson, he's 23 years old. He has a hell of an upside. He's going to be rewarded. He'll be here. They'll stay here. He'll be here. Derrick Rose, he'll be here because he earned it.
Yeah.
But you're right. Peyton, Knox, Nilakita, Pelly, bye. They're all gone. You know what? Don't be surprised if Todd Gibson somehow in the sign and trade is also gone. They're going to clean house. They're going to do different shit. I don't know exactly what they're going to do yet, but I'm telling you, they're talking about it right now, just like Julius Randle just got off the phone a little while ago and started his workout program tomorrow, okay? They're doing shit right now. They're being very fucking progressive. I know they are. Because what happened, and Dom, okay, Steve, this is what y'all got to remember. This is what you got to remember, no matter what level you're at right now and what you're on how much of a Knicks fan you are. Do you remember sitting in the goddamn, even the cheap seats at the Garden during a fucking sellout when they were great? Do you remember that? With the yelling and the camaraderie and the fanship? That shit means something. There's a reason why Kyrie and Kevin tried to get here 2 years ago before they ended up in Brooklyn. Okay, there's something here that will not fucking delay the process. I'm not talking about fairy dust here. These cats, you know, Rose and all of them upstairs, they know what time it is, especially after this experience here. This has been kind of a positive experience in that respect because they see what the possibilities are when you sell out the Garden, because they're walking both sides of the track. The fandom, build the club side, and the revenue, Madison Square Garden, New York City side, okay? And when you mesh all of those shits together, what you're going to do is you're going to make a sound decision. You're going to have a lot of meetings. You're going to have a lot of meetings the next month or two. People are going to be, their ears are going to be stuck to their cell phones trying to build this team up. Okay, now they're a little late in terms of what's, like I just alluded to what's available, man. I mean, everything's either too expensive, and if it's expensive, you know, say, let's take a Mike Conley, who's not coming here, but I'm just using him as an example. You know, he makes too much money a fucking year. Okay, you can't sign him because he's already on a winning club, and even so, he's probably got only 3 years left, good years left. So you're stuck in those kind of, you know, predicaments. So you either have to draft well, you have to move up, you have to get your D-League game up as far as, you know, your scouts out there. You got to see what's up overseas. You got to do a lot of shit. But I have faith in the fact that our new front office is proactive like that. I really, really do. This is what we needed. That's why I feel so good, you know, because this is the beginning of how it started. Steve, how much time do we have on the show left?
We got
10 minutes. My final thought is only going to be 2 minutes long. And I'm actually, Steve, you already know me 1,000 times, but I'm actually aiming this at Doc. I mean, Dom. Doc is my son. All right. Dominic, I remember succinctly, clearly, like it was last night, when the whole goddamn world, New York world, was like, what the fuck are we going to do with fucking Earl Monroe? The pro can't play here. We can't do this. Look, how many balls do we need? He can't play with Frazier. With Reed? And the way our hit-to-open-man offense rolls? Man, the Butcher will be in his ass tomorrow, and he'll be gone. It ain't going to work. It's not going to happen. But what happened was the Pearl, who was beating our ass and talking all that shit to all the fucking Garden patrons, and we hated his ass, all right? What happened was he came over here, and he had that first meeting. This is when coaches actually talk to their players. He had that first meeting with Red Holtzman, and he said, you think we can all win together? And Red Holtzman says, Watch me, follow my lead, fall into the fabric. The guys have already accepted you. All you have to do is pay attention. And by the way, you have to play defense. So what happened was Red Holtzman put him in a special situation after the season was over, where he had to learn defense in the off season when he was supposed to be making money at Rucker and the Baker League. Okay, when he was called Black Jesus, all that, and made, you know, getting all that cachet. But he, what he did was he bunkered down, he hung out with us, and when he came back, we won the championship, dude. We absolutely did in 1972. And the reason that happened is because he had to change his game. And what after we won that championship at the podium, right there, that's the Chase Bank when they were making that speech, and I was right there. I was right there watching this shit. He explained that entire story, and he said, "This is the only way to play New York basketball. I'm from Philly, but I understand New York basketball, and we're gonna keep on winning as long as we have the proper people in place that buy in to exactly how the game is played here in the Garden." And everybody throughout the, even though we haven't really won any championships, we haven't won any championships since then. Every star we've had has always alluded to it. You know, Ewing alluded to it. King alluded to it. Carmelo alluded to it. Houston alluded to it. There's something special about New York Knickerbocker basketball, even though there's not a lot of rings there. And I'm sorry, I have the true belief that this is the beginning. There's not enough time for me to tell all the stories, but I'll tell you this one. I've seen this shit before. This is the beginning of something really fucking good. And everybody's going to want to flock to the Garden in about 2 years. If these guys play it right. Right now it looks disjointed, kind of uneven. The losses were good because, maybe it's the military in me, but they pretty much build character when you fuck up like this, like the Knicks did tonight. All right? But the possibilities are endless. And the only way to look this up, I'm telling you, the New York Knickerbockers will go from here. They sure will. And let me tell you something. The biggest catalyst of this will definitely, two of them actually, will be Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett. They're going to work their ass off this offseason. And when you see them boys come back next year, we could probably have the baddest fucking combo in the fucking league. They'll be talked about right up there with Clay and Curry and Dame and CJ and all the motherfuckers. It's going to happen. I see it happening. I know the possibilities. I have that kind of confidence in these dudes. But more importantly, they have this club has that kind of confidence now. They know what they're capable of now. They're young. They're brash, a little bit brash. They need Mitchell Robinson back. They need another leadership voice besides Derrick Rose. And they definitely it would help if he was at point guard. Okay? And that's what it is. I just wanted to get it out. That's what it is. I'm telling you, I know this club. It's going to get better. And I'm not for the bullshit with the fucking fairy dust. These guys are going to improve. This is the beginning of a new chapter with the New York Knickerbockers. Just had to tell you.
All right.
I'm done.
Shout out to Godfather, man. Big Blue every other Thursday in the off season, man, with the roundtable. Shout outs to the Godfather, man.
Yes.
Dom, give us your final thoughts,
yes,
on this eulogy episode, and
that was
and then I'll wrap up. Give us like a couple minutes. We're running out of time.
Yeah, you guys kind of talked me off my sore loser mentality, but I will say this: nobody likes to lose. I don't give a shit what you say. Don't teach your kids whether you win or lose. Yeah, it's I don't like that. It's not whether you win. You know, I had my wife question me one time when my kids were playing ball, and I used to always tell them, don't believe that shit about it. It's never whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. If that was the case, they wouldn't have a scoreboard. Losing is not good.
Right.
Yeah, it might build character.
Amen.
I get it.
Amen.
But my final thought is sort of like a question, since Steve's always proposing the questions. My question would be, is it out of the realm to try to put some chips on the table for Schroeder? I don't think he's going to stay in L.A. I think he's going to be out there. Is there a possibility? Because we have the money, guys. And when we get rid of some of the people that we got on contract now, and it's not like the Knicks, the most richest franchise in the NBA, you've gotten alibis year after year without going into the luxury tax. Would it hurt to at least put a feeler out for this guy? Maybe because I kind of like him. He's another guy, Steve, that has gotten better and better and better on every team he's been on. You know, normally a guy bounces around, he gets a little in his head. No. This guy has gotten better and better and better everywhere he's been. Would it be? Could it be? Would you try?
I will look into that.
Hey, Schroeder, we'll offer you, and let's see what happens. Because let's not forget, when Julius Randle played in New Orleans, who was his point guard? Wasn't it Drew Holiday?
It was.
Drew Holiday. Right.
It was.
Is he a stellar point guard? Yeah. Is he a stellar point guard? I think Drew Holiday,
is
the best all-around point guard in the NBA. Which again, I'm just reaching because there's not many good free agents coming out, but he happens to be one of them. He happens to be that one name that, and ironically, it's a position that needs help on our team. How much is he willing to take? Is he trying to get a $35 million a year contract? I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. He fits the need that we need to fill. So would you at least talk to him? Not do to Phil Jackson, but I really don't want to talk to him, and I don't think it's worth it. And I mean, guys, you know, put your head together. Hey,
Dennis,
hey,
people are in New York from France.
Yeah, hey, Dennis, would you mind? Would you mind at least talking to us? I mean, Germany is close to New York. You get on one plane.
I mean, Germany, I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
You can get home. You can get home easier from New York. It's just one flight. Yeah, it's 8 hours, but it's a lot closer than L.A. I'm just throwing that out there. Because, again, guys, it all goes back to the point guard position. And if you got a guy out there, and, Steve, I think me and you had this conversation before when Drew Holiday a few years ago was iffy about staying and going. Why didn't the Knicks, you know, go after him? But now you got Schroeder. Maybe, possibly, at least get a sit down with him and explain. He can see where we're headed. Pretty sure he watches basketball. So my final thoughts are,
Lakers can't pay him anyway.
Right. And I don't think he's happy there, Steve. Again, you're listening to stories that I hate doing that. But, again, I don't think it would hurt to ask. And that's my final thought, that moving forward, guys, we got to be aggressive. We can't
right.
the laurels of going 41-31 and getting smoked in the playoffs. We can't rest on that. You got to be
right.
aggressive. You got to tackle this shit like you're really in it to win it. This season, this offseason, will prove to me, Dominic the fan, How deep are y'all in this? You went out and got a great coach. You supposedly got good people in the front office. Dolan is minding his business. How embedded are y'all guys to fix this shit and fix it right now? We don't want to ascend and then decline. And then you lose me. You're losing me with that shit. You got to be in it to win it. And this offseason is going to prove it to me. And as always, Steve,
right.
thank you, Godfather. It's been great. You know,
thank you, bro.
Hey, let's move on to bigger and better things.
It's Dom, Donardo DP on Twitter. We only got a minute left. Let me say this, man. I want to say shout out to Dom and Av, the Godfather, Coach Chris, Mr. Live, the Omni fan, man, Nickinator, all the Nick fans that have come on. Shout out to Little Dre to the Rack. The Knick fans that have come on to this platform, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum throughout the regular season, we had a great vibe, man. It was our best season as the Bleed Blue Show. To Dom's point, we got to get better. We got to get smarter with our asset management. This is an all-season thing with the team. I wish they would have called Dominic or called Knickerbocker Ave or called me and we'll consult maybe for some fucking some blue seats. We'll talk. We'll get that guy. Do not get that guy.
No,
you can talk to us. We watch. And I don't think our assessment is pretty damn near good when it comes to knowing who's going to be good, who's not going to be good. But this is the eulogy. The season is over. Burying the casket of the 2021 Knicks season into the ground. I did one final more shout out. I can't say it enough to the great Knickerbocker Avenue, and get well, get better.
Avenue
out of commission, and we just want to pray our proper respect for that man, what he's done for the Knicks fan base, and just as a man, period, as a grown damn man, man. Knickerbocker Avenue, your thoughts and prayers are with myself especially. I know Chris and Dom, the speedy recovery. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and hopefully you are there to join us with yourself on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum in 2 weeks when we get into the rest of the NBA playoffs and what we're going to do as a Knicks fans here on this platform, man. I'm irate, man. We got embarrassed in this first round. This shit was not close, all right? I'm disgusted at how we went out. I'm a little bit surprised how we went out. Dom read you the numbers all series long, but to be flat like that and be really cold like that, and Nick and Nader kind of nailed it when he came on with us. What Randall version we were going to get. And he has some – the stat sheet may look like he has some decent numbers, but the turnovers were a killer. It looked like his first year with us under Fizdale type of turnovers with us. The good additions with Bullock and Burks, they've been, good three-point shooting. The Knicks improved that throughout the year. And R.J. Barrett's three-point shooter improved throughout the year. These are optimistic points that we could build on. But you got to get the point guard, Av and Dom and Chris. Man, Schroeder is probably a guy you may want to go after, a guy who's won Sixth Man of the Year with Oklahoma City. A guy who could get into the paint, create. He's a decent shooter. He's an upgrade over Peyton by his age and his play. After that, I would say you may want to entertain Lonzo Ball, but I wouldn't. I'm not loving it, but I'm just looking at ranking of what's available. Jrue Holiday, if he doesn't get the extension with the Bucks, I really don't know his contract situation right off the top of my head, but. You got to build. You got to get rid of the old guys. They got to go, man. They've been watching too many free games from that damn bench and passing too much Gatorade. They got to go. The Knoxes, the Nilakinas, they got to go. All right? And go from there and build with the regime, and you have to find a way to make up the mistakes you had in this past draft. The quickly pick has looked okay for where we got them in the middle to late first round, but that topping pick is an eyesore right now. I know we talk about a couple of highlight dunks once every 3 to 4 weeks, but that's not enough. We need more out of a guy we draft that high. It's almost a little bit better than Kevin Knox, but it's not saying much. But for Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets, the great Dom, and of course the icon himself, the Godfather, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher. The only episode this week for the platform, man. We'll be back on with a full week of episodes with the baseball on Monday, the hockey on Tuesday, and, of course, the roundtable on Thursday. We'll pass up a week. You know what? Maybe we do some NBA. Maybe if we got all those episodes next week, why not talk about the playoffs? I'm not going to be in a happy mood to talk about it. You're going to get a grumpy Azul, man. The Sunday has to dominate. Yo, I am fucking pissed. I don't know how I'm going to go to sleep tonight, man. That shit was embarrassing, man. That shit was so fucking embarrassing watching that fourth quarter. It was like a slow bleed
out.
It was.
I know we're getting ready to go.
I'm gonna yell something out
real loud besides Sangre Azul.
Please. Yeah.
Max Abness. Oral Roberts. That's all I wanted to say. Just wanted to say. Came out of my mouth. Max Abness. Oral Roberts.
I gotta say this one more time. I am going to catch hell from fans. I don't give a fuck. I'm a fan. Like Dominic and the Godfather fans longer than me. The fans, you brought up Spike Lee. I've said it for years. Yo, it's the jinx, man. This shit was not working with the fans in the stands, but for whatever reason we played better without them. They looked like they were in stage fright out there in all the home games.
Yeah.
And they looked like shit when they went down to Atlanta. Shit. It was embarrassing, man. I kind of liked it when it was no fans, man. It was no pressure. They didn't try to overdo their play on the court because they didn't try to play to the crowd. It worked for like maybe two quarters out of the entire series. It don't work for them. It just don't.
Welcome to New York City.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just the way it's going to be. You got to mess with us.
Yeah. All right, man. Congrats, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.